phone lines are open at 221-1402. On News Talk 1400, KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402. This is Carl Bott, and it is foggy out there. At least I hope it's foggy, and I'm not still suffering from painkillers from the little rum drinks from 2 weeks ago. Tell me it's Kelly Frost Jr., my producer. Tell me it's foggy out there.
It is. You didn't have one of those rum drinks this morning?
I'm dancing around. You know what? When they get the camera in here, they're going to see the joy and the dancing and the frivolity that we have here.
And the rubber duck.
And the rubber duck.
From Daniel.
Hey, let me introduce my soulmate here, Linda Bott.
Well, good morning. You know,
I never know what's coming next.
It is the Monday before Christmas.
Yes, it is.
It's just, and guess what we're doing today? We have to tell all our loyal listeners at from 10 to 11 today.
Today.
We're ringing the bell at Gottschalk's.
For Salvation Army, we're bell ringers. We do this every year and we love it.
Last year we did it at the Safeway on Pine Street. This year we're doing it, of course, at Gottschalk's. So come by. This morning it's foggy, but fill our bucket. And that's going to be really exciting.
In fact, after you do this, then you know that after you've done this a couple of times, that you will never pass a Salvation Army bucket without dropping something in there. And it was great. You know, little kids coming up and dropping in change, and their parents coming in dropping in dollars, $5. Anybody drops a $100 bill, we'll mention your name on the air.
Now, that's on the up note. I just kind of want to share something else that I read online and also in the paper today about people having to give up their pets. What a bummer. I mean, it makes my stomach turn. And you and I have discussed the fact that this year we're considering adopting a dog. And I know how hard it is to go into Haven Humane and to an animal shelter and to, because you want to take them all to rescue a pet. Now, it said that to own a dog, annually it's about a $1,400 yearly expense.
Yeah, I imagine for if you don't do your own grooming and you've got vet fees and licensing fees,
food,
yeah.
And for cats, it's $1,000. So for some people, they can't pay their heating and electric bills, and they just say, "I can't do it." So here's
your dog comes out $120 a month. That's
yeah. Just it's heartbreaking, but there's somebody who said that they dropped off a 35-pound bag of dog food, and that was going to be their commitment for the next year. They were going to be doing that to Haven Humane once a month.
You know what I've seen a lot of people are doing? Instead of handing presents to their bloated family members, what they're doing is they're giving gifts like this to Haven Humane or to our people centers. Which I don't need 1,000 phone calls, but I think people are somewhat higher in the scale of needing help than in animals. Okay, the look I'm getting from the other side of the
Well, it's just that our animals and people too, but animals depend on you.
That's right, they do.
They depend on us.
Absolutely, but the thing is that a lot of people are giving presents to Haven Humane or giving it to the Salvation Army or the Red Cross in lieu of giving gifts to their families who. And I think this is what a wonderful idea that is. Hey, here's your present. And, in lieu of me giving you a present, I gave $25 in, I gave two turkeys to Salvation Army in your name. I mean, that's pretty cool. Hey, this is Carl Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. We've got a lot of things to talk about today. We want to catch up today because we got guests all the rest of the week before Christmas. So join us on the other side. Hey, this is Carl Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
Hey, what's up, Daniel?
Hey, I was reading on the news today where they're talking about the bailout and the banks aren't accounting for any of that money that Congress gave them.
I heard that they were given like a $1 billion of it went to their executives to pay them back or something.
Well, the thing that I'm finding totally amazing is I read through this article, it just says that they're not going to tell people where the money went, how it's being used. There's just no stinking accounting for it, and I think it's time for Congress to throw down the thunder on these guys and say, you know, we gave you all that money. You be telling us exactly how you're doing it.
Yeah, you know, hey, what the heck's going on here? You know, but for the big three, we're going to talk about the proposed bailout of the big three here in this next segment. But, you know, the thing about it is that they want them to account for the money. They say after 90 days, if they haven't shown something, you know, a movement forward and a change, they have to pay it back right away with interest, and then they're going to go into bankruptcy. So what's going on with the banking industry? And if you remember, AIG had this $500,000 party, you know, right,
exactly.
Right as soon as they got the money. I mean, what the heck's going on here?
So anyway, I guess my challenge is to all the folks that are listening, it's time for you to get on your email, get on your letter writing, and make phone calls up to Congress, to your senator, to your representatives, and demand that they demand these people tell them what's going on with that money.
Well, it does, you know, and, you know, that's our money. I mean, I have friends that are losing their homes. Because they, you know, they got into the subprime thing. You know, they're taking account for that. I mean, they're taking responsibility for that. But it's not that they can't make payments of what they did before. It's now they're just up so far upside down. So, but one of the, you know, this company that's doing this to them got the money for the bailout. So why aren't they helping the people with these mortgages?
I'll tell you, I'm watching our all our politicals up there in the Beltway are all derelict in their duty right now. And had you and I done similar things while we were on active duty, we'd have been cowed down right in front of the man.
Oh, I tell you what, if things that our presidents have gotten away with, things that congressmen have gotten away with, and senators, if you're absolutely right, Dan, and anybody that's been on military service knows this, if we had done a tenth of what they had done, we'd still be in jail. Starting with Bill Clinton.
Anyway, that's what I was calling about. I read that, and it just really pushed my button.
Well, you know, that's just some of the things that have been pushing my button lately. But we're going to talk about this bailout, you know, for the big three. And, you know, should there be one and not? And some facts about our car industry, which maybe some people don't know. But one of the big things that just came out today is Toyota just posted the first loss in 47 years this quarter.
Right.
And you know what? You know, and they're talking about how great the foreign cars are. Well, we're going to talk about just what are the top selling cars here in the United States. And I think some people are going to be a little bit surprised. So, Daniel, thank you so much for your phone call.
Okay, have a good day.
Hey, thanks. David, talk to us. David.
Good morning.
Good morning, David. Okay, David, we lost David, and I think he hung up, but it sounded like we had a little static problem there. Hey, you know what? We're going to take a quick break here. This is Carl in the Bob and Free Fire Radio. When we come back, we're going to talk about this bailout. We're going to talk about some surprising facts, in case you haven't seen them, about our industry. And we're going to talk about some things that when people are saying of some of our senators, hey, it may not be the whole story. Imagine that. Join us on the other side. Hey, this is Carl Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott here on News Talk 1400. Our phone lines here are 221-1402. Okay, I said we're going to talk about some facts and figures. Maybe a lot of you know I just discovered them. Let's talk about what are the two top-selling vehicles in the United States from January of 08 through November. What do you think they might be? You know, I've asked this question several times to several different people. Nobody's gotten the right answer. But the number one selling vehicle is the F-150 Ford truck. And the second one is the Chevrolet Silverado, the GM Silverado, or Chevrolet Silverado. Two best-selling vehicles in America so far this year. Now, then you get into the worst. You know, what is the worst-selling vehicle in 2008? That's the Hyundai Entourage.
Really?
Is that the one that kind of looks like a toaster walking down the road?
Where is Lexus or Cadillac on there?
I don't know how they have that in here. And I didn't go into those specifically. I don't know. It doesn't have a Lexus, isn't it? It didn't make the top 10 either way. So I'd have to go research that someplace else. But they're saying is that a lot of the cars, of course, people are looking for good mileage, and that's where the Ford Focus comes in. Ford Focus finished sixth.
Well, we have the Ford 150, the Ford truck.
F-150. I like that truck.
Yeah, I've always been a Chevy person. Chevy truck owner.
Well,
and then we got a Ford, and it is a good truck. And I think we drive back and forth to Sacramento a lot. We get pretty good gas mileage, don't you think?
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, it's not 35 miles to a gallon. But let's talk about this. You know, you have these senators on the news saying, "Hey, you know, hey, the big three. You know, it's costing so much money to build a car up there." And it's true, it does. And part of that reason is bad decisions. And you know what? North State, we all know this. In 1973, when the first gas embargo hit, that oil embargo hit, and people were lining up, and we haven't done this since, is you had to line up, and you could only get gas on even an odd number of days, depending on what your license plate was. You remember that? And what did we do? And okay, let's everybody conserve. And that happened. And then what happened after that? And then we got into the, you know, gas and oil stayed a certain price. Instead of right then in 1973, our leadership in this country, Republican, Democrat, sold us down the river by not finding an alternative fuel source right then. And I have to admit, we did that ourselves too. You know, we kept putting the same people back in there. Nobody made a big thing out of it because oil was cheap. Now, oil went up to almost $5 a gallon. And if you're pushing a diesel truck, I think it was over five at a couple of times. So now where are we at? We're back down to oil is $48 a gallon. It's the cheapest it's been. Gas is the cheapest it's been in this nation since in five years. 5 years. So what's that mean? Does that mean as people are going to forget this lesson we've learned about $5 gas? You know, are the SUVs, you know, and trucks and the gas guzzlers going to come back because it's cheap gas again? I don't think so. I think people finally this time I've learned something. But what's going to happen in the green side that says alternative forms of energy? But that kind of goes back into what we're talking about, this bailout. People saying, well, the big three made all these bad decisions. Well, yes, they did. They made some bad decisions. But in the last few years, they have been retooling. They have been trying to come back and take a look at things. Some of the senators that are fighting about having help for the big three have got foreign car companies in their states. In the South, they've got many foreign car companies building, and that's a huge tax base for them. It employs thousands of people. But they gave them a lot of incentives to go in and start building these cars in these states. Free land, you know, tax rates, you know, tax cuts, all of these things to get them in there. And you got to ask yourself, if we let the big three go under, who's going to take their place? Toyota? Honda? Chinese cars? You know, all these, you know, Korean cars? So if they take their place, aren't we? I mean, just the fact of the millions of people that lose their jobs and all the other people it touches, what's really going to take their place? If you think about it, that manufacturing capability, that base in case of a huge national emergency is needed also to help our economy. Now, is it being run the best way? No. Why do unions have this right to have people that are laid off get paid 90% of what they make for years afterwards so they can turn down other jobs? Why should that happen? Why should the billions of dollars in extras be given to their, you know, to the high, you know, the CEOs and their underlings? They shouldn't. That's got to be redone. So how do you do it? Do you either just give them the money on a loan, or do you let them go into some form of bankruptcy and kind of reorganize and come back stronger? Well, those are big questions right now. But the thing is that when you look at it, you know, that the big threes, you know, when they start talking about gas guzzlers, you've got the 33-mile-per-gallon Malibu that beats the Honda Accord. You got the Ford's introducing the hybrid Fusion, who's going to get 39 miles per gallon. It's the best in the midsize, and it beats the Camry hybrid. And right now, Ford's Focus beats the Corolla, and Chevy's Cobalt beats the Civic. So see, they're out there. They have done these things, but we're still not buying. Now, with the notification of everybody is that Toyota has lost money for the first time, and so it's just not us. You know, the other thing, too, if you want to buy a car, if you want to buy an American car in Korea, first of all, they only allow like 7,000 or 8,000 of them in. So that's a problem. You've got, in Japan, you almost have to fill out as much paperwork as the car weighs to get an American car. Yet we let them in. You know, how many thousands and thousands of cars come in from Korea every year? And I'm not saying they don't make good cars. They do. But They don't make them any better than an American car. So why aren't, if we're going to go out and buy a car this, you know, at this time of the year, or if you're thinking about buying a car, why not make it an American car? We make fine cars here in the United States. We can compare and we can compete on with the foreign cars in quality and gas mileage. To do away with our auto industry, to let them go down the tank, is really, really
un-American.
Well, it's not just, I don't know if it's un-American, it's just not right. You know, but these are just, again, these are my thoughts. There's a lot of people out here in the North State are smarter than me. So, you know, if you want to call and you want to talk to us about this, you know, the phone lines here are 221-1402. And, you know, the bailout of the banks is so much different than this proposed, you know, bailout, quote, loan to the big three. And, you know, the point is also that, letting them go down, you know, with Americans buying so many cars, the European Union's going to start buying cars. Now is not the time to get out of the car business. Greg, good morning. We got like a minute, Greg.
Yeah, just considered an alternate to the automobile. What this country needs to do is build about 200 nuclear power plants and set a grid of high-speed trains across the nation to move people and freight. It's the most efficient manner to do it. Forget about the automobile. Get transportation that moves people in the cities. And the automobile is a has-been.
Well, you know what, Greg? That's an interesting point. Now, I don't know how long you can hold on, but we've got to take a hard break here. And if you want to hang on to the other side, let's discuss this a little bit.
Yeah, I'll just listen on the radio, but we need to look at a whole other boat.
Absolutely, and you know you're right about the nukes and you're about people moving. Hey, thanks a lot for your phone call.
Bye.
Hey, look, this is Carl Lindabad here on Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Hard break here, news, and we got the phone lines backed up. We'll get to you on the other side.
Hey, you're listening to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott. 34 degrees right now. The time is 8:31. We're going to go to the phones.
Ed, good morning.
Morning. You're on the air. Hello?
Who are you talking to?
Hey, Ed, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio.
Hey, Carl. Linda, how are you guys?
Good morning. Great.
I just was calling in because it's been such an interesting thing as somebody who's been in real estate most of my life. To see the bailout you guys were talking about, people really are kind of not aware of what caused this whole trillion-dollar problem to begin with. And it really goes back to Jimmy Carter in 1977 when he passed the Community Restoration Act, which forced banks to make loans into impoverished neighborhoods, regardless if the people could qualify for the loan. And it was accelerated by Bill Clinton in the late 90s when Robert Rubin was instructed to make sure that home loans were available to 70% of the people in this country, and that incorporated even illegal citizens. So they had radio advertisements going on that say no green cards, no financials, just come on down, we'll give you 110%. Paperless loans were the thing of the day, and Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, they squandered, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars on an agenda that was set by basically the liberal Congress. So Barney Frank and Chris Dodd, they were the House and Senate Finance Services Committee's chairmen, and they've been involved, and they were directly overseeing Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae during this whole time. And so really, it's the biggest corruption that our federal government has ever seen from inside.
Yeah.
And yet, it's all been washed over and buried and covered up, and everybody's taken the fall for these guys, and they continue to sit in their lavish offices, and they basically destroyed this economy.
So what do you think should be done, Ed?
Well, I wasn't for the bailout. I think that consumer confidence cannot be restored until there's confidence in our government. And right now, there's so much corruption in our government. There's so much people bailing each other out, making deals behind the table. And I think with the automakers, I think that until you get a grip on labor, the auto workers, labor union, they control everything. And, yeah. And
hey, Ed, you're really breaking up here. We can barely hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just think that... can you hear me better now?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. I think we have to identify with the fact that consumer confidence is what's going to restore the economy, and that's not going to happen until we're confident that government is doing what's in the best interest of the people in this country. And that has not been the case.
Well,
so
that
the
is...
bailouts are Band-Aids, and again, Paulson really screwed up because the whole idea of the bailout was interjected into the bank so that they would help ease the foreclosures, and he never put any type of strings attached to the money, so the banks got the money, and they didn't have to do anything. But now, Barney Frank and Chris Dodd are the ones that are supposed to fix this problem, and they're the ones that created the problem.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I don't know,
Ed. We
got
a long ways to go.
Oh, hey, Ed, thank you for your phone call.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Well, you know, it's true. You know, it's consumer confidence, but it's also confidence in our government. And frankly, a lot of people don't have that. And every time I think about our government, I think about these bailouts. I think about our budget, that we can't pass a budget here in California. You know, everybody's got their own little, you know, little handout for things. And, you know, here we are. We're getting ready to stop construction on our bridges. You know, schools are being hit. Everything because these people can't work together to pass a budget.
But remember, if you sold real estate, not that we did, but we have known our very good friends do sell, many of which were in the big wave where loans were no money down. These are $400,000 and $500,000 homes that were selling like
I never had to show any proof of how much money I made to buy houses.
Like when the new subdivisions went up, I'm thinking about in El Dorado Hills, Cameron Park area in Sacramento, Folsom, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 homes. People could come in, no money down, and just, they had so many different kinds of loans.
Yeah.
That is where there are, all of these homes are in foreclosure.
Yeah.
So many of these homes are in foreclosure
chickens
now.
Chickens are coming home to roost. So, yeah. Henry, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. It's getting sort of kind of like old home week every time I call. But you know, we were talking about that bailout of the automobile manufacturers. What they should do on that, the mechanics of it should be that they, for instance, General Motors should declare a reorganization under Chapter 11, and then the government give them the loan. Because if once the bankruptcy is declared, it breaks all contracts. Then they can go back in and renegotiate the contracts, renegotiate the health system, the whole works that they're paying for, and come up with something that they can produce a car and make a profit.
Well, you know, that's true, and they can do that. That's why, you know, the people that are really pushing the loan or the, quote, bailout is, you know, people who've got a lot of strong union backing. And to do that, to break those contracts with the union is very scary to the unions.
Well, I understand that, Carl, but the point is that if they're going to make money, the mechanics of it is that they, before they get the money, they should renegotiate the contracts.
Well, you know,
and the only way that they're ever going to do that is go through a start of bankruptcy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know the unions have already started talking, you know, hey, they're going to do away with this thing where their people are getting paid for not working. They're going to do away with other things. But I think you're right, Henry, is that my bottom line is this. We've got to find a way to save these jobs and this industry in the United States. Now, if it goes through bankruptcy, so be it. You know, they've had airlines have gone through bankruptcy and come back stronger.
Well, that's true. Just because they go into bankruptcy in the reorganization doesn't mean you're going to lose them.
Well, you know, I tell you the truth, our automakers are not playing on a fair ground. I mean, you look at the automakers in Japan and Korea and all this. All their workers' retirement, medical, and all that is paid for by the government, not by the automakers. So, you know, that's not a fair thing. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, is the playing arena fair?
Well,
it's not.
Well, you have to have a fair playing field if you're going to win. You
so,
know, I mean, that's all
least,
there is to it.
You know, at least they can do is maybe throw, okay, let's just put a little tariff on the cars coming in.
How old are you, Carl?
I'm 60.
Well, I'm a little older than you are, but the fact remains that I remember when they had a car called Studebaker.
Oh.
They had one called Hudson.
Mm-hmm. We've had my dad had Studebaker and Hudson and an Edsel.
And they had Nash.
Yes.
They all went out of business, and by God, the world didn't come to an end.
No, but I tell you what, if you have all three of our own, our only three automakers go out of business, I think it's going to have a severe impact on us.
Well, it will, but they're not going out of business. This is the thing that they're trying to scare us into, is the fact that just because they go through a reorganization doesn't mean they're going out of business.
Oh, no, I agree with that. I agree with that. And if that's the way to go, that's fine with me, too, as long as we find a way to keep this industry going. Henry.
But my feeling is they should do the bankruptcy first and then do the bailout.
That's a good idea. Maybe we can convince people of that.
I hope so.
Henry, thank you so much for your phone call.
Thanks for your call. Merry Christmas.
Okay.
Hey, 221-1402, this is open line. This is the thrill of the hour before Rush comes on that anybody in the North State, give us a call. Tell us what's on your mind. We're talking about the big three. We're talking about a lot of different things. And coming up is going to be the layoffs with fires.
In the fire department. We want to talk about that's our next segment because we're going to have Missy MacArthur on tomorrow and the mayor and the city manager on Wednesday. So let's talk a little bit about the layoffs.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll stay on the other side.
This is Carl Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Thank you for joining Linda and I today. Hey, let's talk about the layoffs at the fire department. You know, I wanted to talk national because we've had some input from people saying, hey, a little more national. Okay, but now let's get down to the meat and potatoes of our town here. What's it mean when you lay off three firefighters? It means is that the three-person companies go down to a two-person company. That means is that you need three firefighters at a minimum to fight a fire. So if that first one pulls up, your house is burning, they can't start. It means is that a two-person engine company is pulling up for a fire, must wait for another engine to arrive before firefighters can even begin to attack the blaze or launch a rescue. Okay, when we say launch a rescue, that means somebody may be in there. We cut back from that third person. They're not going to go in there. They can't. They need somebody on the truck to guide and two of them to go in to watch each other's back. Okay, when we start talking about laying off people, this is what it means. It's not just a person. It's not just a job that's lost. What's that do to our citizens? What does that do for safety of our city? And it gets right down to it. You know, Reading right now, the average response time is 6 to 7 minutes, which is, if you look at Chico, Fairfield, Stockton, and Woodland, that's over what they have. Our ISO rating, that's the Insurance Services Office rating, is a 3. Now, that's good. That keeps our insurance rates down. It could change because of this. It's not saying it will, but it could change. If that does, that means all of our insurance on fire, our fire insurance for buildings, for our professional buildings, and for our homes could go up. So, we're back to where we were 18 months ago as far as staffing on the fires for firefighters. Now, and I'm not saying that there's, I'm not trying to bring down, doom and destruction on it, but I'm thinking, this is going to have an impact on our city. And yet, when we start talking about cuts and more cuts on the budget, the cuts aren't over, people. Just listening to Patrick Jones and listening to the other people that have been in here, those cuts are not stopping. They're going to have more this coming year. Does that mean more from the first responders? What about having one less firefighter? What do we give up on that, for that $365,000 or $350,000 they saved in the fire department? Could that have been taken out of another area? What about asking, one lady's idea was, hey, let us work one day for free or take one day off without pay. And guess what? You've made up that difference and you don't have to let these people go. People that are complaining about, oh my gosh, I'm being cut back, but they still have jobs. That's a huge thing when you're talking about, the real estate industry, you're talking about construction. They don't have jobs now. Mortgage industry, they don't have jobs. Now, to start turning our firefighters loose because it has to compete with a project doesn't make sense all the time, at least not to me. But you know what? We've got the city council in tomorrow. Missy MacArthur, our newest city council member, will be our guest tomorrow. starting at 8 o'clock. And on Wednesday, we've got the mayor and the city manager on to talk about what's going on with our city.
Let's go to the phones. We've got to take a call from George.
George, good morning.
George?
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi. You're
what's
on the
up?
Air.
Good. How are you doing?
We're doing fine, George. How are you?
Hey, that's good.
Of course, we're doing fine because there's nothing on fire here.
That's right. That's right. Walk outside and you see don't see any smoke, you know the fire department's doing its job. Hey, I'm a retired firefighter from Southern California. I've been up here a few years. And we got into this situation, and when I started out, we had a minimum of 5 men on a truck and 4 men on an engine. And then we got down to 3 men on an engine. But we couldn't run an engine with 2 men on it.
Right.
Because the fire underwriters hurt us too bad on insurance.
Yeah.
The citizens. And so when we got an engine that was going to get down to 2 men, we brought in overtime. We had what we called an MML day. It's a minimum manpower level day. So we kept all our engines at 3 men by having guys work overtime. And this was, it's cheaper than hiring men, you know, a lot cheaper than hiring men.
Yeah.
And we could keep the service up so that fire insurance for citizens on their houses wouldn't go up. Because the fire underwriters, when they checked us every few years, they downgraded you on everything like that, you know. And if your rating got too low, then the insurance rates started going up. So, plus, it's like it said in the paper, it's very, very dangerous to send a two-man engine out. You know,
because
you can't rescue any people. You can't do anything. You're waiting for another engine, so why not hire overtime and fill those engines up with men to the, you know, operating level?
Well, you know, the thing, too, is what I didn't understand was if it's a non-person emergency in there, is that they have to wait to get 5 firefighters on the scene. So, you know, if it takes 6 or 7 minutes to get the first one there and another 4 or 5 minutes to get the next engine there that give you 5 people, that's 10 minutes of a fire going. And from what I understand, the combustion of that fire could be well too late at that point to save anything.
You've lost the house or whatever.
Yeah, you've lost it. Well.
So, anyway, I just wanted to say that. Another thing. As soon as we get in trouble, you know, the financial trouble, the city starts laying off police and fire and services. Now, if you get in trouble in your house, say that the breadwinner, say you lose your job or something, and you and Linda, your income's cut way down, you don't start cutting out your services like your lights, your electricity, your gas, your water. You don't cut them off. You start cutting off like going to dinner. You don't go out to dinner. You don't go to the movie, so on and so forth. There's where you start cutting.
Yeah.
You don't start cutting the services. Right away, the city wants to cut services. And there's so many programs that where the city could do away with them. We don't need them. In fact, I know where the city could make money selling palm trees.
Hey, George, I tell you what. I hope everybody that's listening are saving their questions for tomorrow and Wednesday because, you know, our elected representatives who made these decisions are going to be here, and we need to talk about that.
Thanks for your call, George. We've got to take a break. It's 35 degrees. Time is 8:51. This is Carl and Linda Bott with Free Fire Radio, KQMS, 221-1402. We'll see you after the break.
This is Carl Linda Bott here for Free Fire Radio and News Talk 1400 KQMS. 10 o'clock today at the National Guard Armory. The Purple Heart Association is going to be handing out toys to the families of those troops that are deployed. Also, they wanted to let us know is that if you've got a relative, a direct relative, father, mother, grandfather, that you too can be part of the Purple Heart Auxiliary to help these people.
I want to also remind you, if you're just tuning in, that Carl and I are going to be at 10 o'clock this morning at Gottschalk's. And we're going to be ringing the bell for the Salvation Army.
Ring on my bell.
Yeah, so come by and fill our pot, won't you? And the other thing is that before we close today, we received a few emails and calls a while back about people saying, what is good guys against the bad guys? It made people question that they felt bad about it. So could you clarify that one more time, please?
Yeah, you know, we talked about it last Monday, too, but. You know, and we haven't had any like for a while, but just one more time. When I say it's the good guys against the bad guys, which are you, it's got nothing to do with politics. It's got nothing to do with religion or skin color or anything. A good guy to me, well, to us, is somebody that takes responsibility, that has integrity, that supports the neighborhood, supports our community, supports people that are less fortunate than them, but has the honor and the integrity, raises their family. And you've got, you have to take responsibility. And the thing is that I can't tell you if you're a good guy.
I can't
tell you if you're a bad guy. You're the only one that's going to know that.
Like the guy that returned your wallet, Kelly.
That was a good guy.
Didn't take the money out, just gave you the wallet back.
And there are, you know, and that person can look themselves in the mirror every day and say, hey, I'm a good guy. But it's not me to tell you if you're a good guy or a bad guy. That's up to you. But it's very important to me is that, you know, that, you know, to us, you think about it. You look in the mirror and you say, hey, did I do what I was supposed to do today?
The right thing.
When I say it's a good guys against the bad guys, which are you? That's what it means. Don't take offense at it. Don't think it's aimed if you don't agree with me, and many people don't, by the way. It means is that you're a bad guy. It's not what it means at all.
I still kiss you goodnight.
Yeah, and I tell you what, we have, and by the way, we were talking about that last night with very good friends of ours, that you can disagree with people. You don't have to hate them. You can have disagreements on completely 180 degrees out. You still like them. They're still your buddies. You still get together with them socially. It just means you don't agree with things. You don't have to vilify people. You don't have to destroy people. That's what it means. So when I say that, take it for what it's worth. But you know what? I'm going to keep saying it because, you know, it helps. I believe that people need to take a look at what's going on around them. That we've had enough of people that aren't taking responsibility, that people that spend our money in Congress without really caring, that people that don't do the right thing for the community, they do the right thing for us, a little special interest group or themselves. You know, what's wrong with that? That's wrong. That's what you got to take a look at. So, and there are good guys and bad guys. Bad guy would have kept the money, kept his credit cards, done everything, just thrown away the wallet. That's a bad guy. And it's just my opinion, of course. But then again.
It was a Raiders wallet.
It was a Raiders wallet.
Mm-hmm. Which, must have been a Raider fan.
Well, you know, I might have returned the money, the credit cards and everything in a little plastic bag and kept the wallet, then, you know, or tossed the wallet. I'm not sure. You know. And by the way, Kelly has got a big smile on his face. For what reason, Kelly? The Raiders.
Oh, they did. They won yesterday. Yeah, sorry. Won. It's been a while.
Okay, now, our guests tomorrow are going to be Mrs. MacArthur, and on Wednesday will be our mayor and the city manager. So tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, Missy's going to be here. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is News Talk 1400 KQMS Reading. It's 9 o'clock.